Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted that you would spend your Sunday afternoon with us. We thank you so much. This is Let the Bible Speak. It's a live call-in question and answer broadcast where you set the tone of the broadcast, you ask the questions, and you set forth what is the theme. And all we do, all we're here to do is to serve you in giving you answers, in book, chapter, verse of God's Word, and letting God's Word speak to you and give you the answers to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. It is our earnest desire that you hear only God's words and not us, that we will be able to do the best we can to just help you. The lines are available. We have multiple ways of being able to get in touch with us. 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number for you to call in the radio station. You can have your question written down and brought into us. Or if you are comfortable enough, you can ask your question live over the air. If you like to ask your question live over there, we only ask two things. One, that you would just give us your name and so that we can be polite and address you by name and speak to you and converse in a normal fashion. And also that you would turn your radio down so that there is no confusing echo. And so that would be able to be beneficial to us in that. So those are only two things that we ask of you if you want to ask your question over the air. But once again, you don't have to. You can call 843 is the area code, 843-308-9564 to call us here and send your question in at the station. We also have a text line available. The text line number is 843-725-9283. That's 843-725-9283. And as you've heard me mention the area codes, I'm mentioning that because we have the availability to let you listen to the broadcast from anywhere in the country and in the world on our website of www.biblealone.com. That is our website. You can listen to the broadcast live streaming. So if you know someone in another part of the world or country that might be interested in a program such as this, well, you can let them know. They can log on to www.biblealone.com, where we have multiple things on the website. You can listen to the program live streaming, as well as there's many topical studies, a lot of information, biblical information of God's Word and various studies and various subjects that are a little bit more difficult and kind of a little bit more advanced that we have seen throughout the years come up frequently. So that's available to you as well. And everything we offer on our website is completely and absolutely free. We will never ask you for money. And we stand by that. The Lord has blessed us to be able to serve you without trying to burden you financially in any way. So go ahead and join us here at the station right now. The lines are available. Lines are ready. Please go ahead and join us at 308-9564, 308-9564.
We are happy to be able to be of your service, and we hope that you have your questions ready, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the number, the voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available right now. You can get through and get your question on today's broadcast. 308-WJNI, 308-9564. And now the first line is full, so go ahead. If you call now, just let the phone ring and we'll get to you as soon as possible. 308-9564. There is no waiting. If you'd rather text in your phone, your question through your cell phone, you can do so at 725-9283, 725-9283, and that will be our text line. And so we've already received, it looks like, a question on both of those already, and so continue your questions and we will get to the Bible and answer for the questions that are on your mind. Again, the voice line, 308-9564. Now, during today's broadcast, we want you to be aware of that we're going to be offering a Bible correspondence course that is absolutely free. Now, most of the materials that we mentioned are on our website. You can download those free at any time as well. There's no charge for those, and we are happy to share those with you, including the Bible course and subjects that you ask about habitually. And so there's a lot of people that have the same thing on their mind, and we are happy to be able to share those with you as well. The Bible website is www.biblealone.com. And then if you are in desktop view on the left-hand side, you can choose Bible materials and navigate to all of these resources that are, again, free for you to download and study at your leisure. One of them dealing with Go Ask Your Preacher. The last three that we've recently put on, Go Ask Your Preacher, a list of questions to go ask your preacher and find out why do we not do these things, or why do we do these things when God's Word says we're not supposed to do these things. And so those are some very vivid, real questions that we should get answers to, because after all, it's going to be God that will give the final conclusion to the matter. And we better make certain that we are honoring Him and serving Him and doing things according to His way. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 warns us, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, any other message from God, the good news from God, any other gospel unto you than that which was preached, past tense, 2,000 years ago, that which was preached to you, let him be accursed. So that's why this program is on the air. To be able to get to the truth of the matter, God's word is truth. John 17:17. And so the truth is only in God's word. And so we're going to go there for the answers to the questions that are on your heart and mind. So now's your chance to call in your question. 308-9564. 308 WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a texter sending in this question. This person has been a part of the program multiple times and on a fairly consistent basis. Their last three digits ended 113. We appreciate so much your attention to the program and continual listening to the program and for texting in your questions to us. We really, really do appreciate consistent listeners and consistent people who consistently ask questions. So please, if you would be able to, excuse me, I'm sorry about that. The question is, should all Christians speak in tongues? The answer to the question should be able to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. Is where the answer is at. It says here, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Then he asks a series of questions, verse 29, and you could see by the context that these questions here in verse 29 are rhetorical questions, or questions that you don't really need a lot of thought. And the answers are fairly simple. It says, are all apostles? Well, no. Are all prophets? Well, no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Well, see, that would fall right into the answer of the rest of them. Well, no. Do all interpret? Well, no. So we see there in that passage and that section of 1 Corinthians, the entire chapter, really the entire letter, the entire first letter to the church in Corinth was written as a letter of correction and of love, showing the love that they needed in correction, because the church there in Corinth was doing a lot of things wrong in their worship, in their love for one another, their relationships with one another. They were doing a lot of things wrong. So really that whole letter of 1 Corinthians was written to this church in a letter of correction. And so one of the things they were doing in the worship service that was wrong, and so we see here in this chapter here in that section. So once again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 through 30 for that answer. Thank you so much for your question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564, or the text line is available at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We are about to take a break. I want to apologize for being on the wrong microphone just a minute ago. I know we caught that before too long, and so now hopefully you can hear what I have to say a little bit,
and we'll be able to communicate without any kind of confusion. But again, we're about to take a break. We want you to be aware of that the Bible Correspondence Course that we're about to share with you, tell you about, it is absolutely free. What's good about getting this course in the mail is that you'll be able to study 24/7 anytime you want to at the right time, which is right for you, when you can concentrate on God's Word. You're able to be able to take it and study it, whether you are a morning person or a night person, and you can open up the Bible, read what God has said, find out the answers in God's Word, and thus fill out the answers. That as you get the course in the mail, you fill out the answers, you send them back to us, we grade it, send it back to you along with the next course, and we'll send two more courses to you the second time, and then the third time through, we'll send you three. And that's the end of the first course, and then we have many other courses that are at your that we're glad to give to you at your service and for you to be able to study God's Word. And so the good thing about this is you may discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. You may have never heard about these things. And yet the Bible has said them all along. Just about every week, every time that a new Bible study is set up and we're able to sit in one of your homes and open up God's Word to you, just about every single time as we cover something in God's Word, I will ask, have you ever seen that before? And most of the time they say, no, I've never seen that. And yet they may have read and studied God's Word for decades. And yet, for some reason, some of those things may have been hidden from them. The God of this world is able to do such as that, the devil, and to cause us to have blinders on. So let's remove the blinders. Let us see what God says, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So go ahead and enroll in this course. Here's the information on it. While we are at break, we want you to know you can continue to call in your questions at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We're serious when we talk about this Bible Correspondence Course. Don't miss out on getting this in the mail. If you're one of the people that have never enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, and there are thousands of you that have, then don't let this opportunity to go by without getting this and studying it from God's Word. And the number to get that course in the mail to you is 553-5157. So don't miss out on this. We have an exciting announcement, especially for those of you that live in the Goose Creek, Ladson, North Charleston, Munts Corner area. If you are mark your calendars for November the 14th and 15th. November 14th and 15th, that's a Friday and Saturday, less than 3 weeks away. We are having a gospel meeting, a meeting there in the Goose Creek area, and we want you to mark your calendars and come out for that event. We had one last year about this time, and so we want you to come out and be able to hear God's Word in person and have a Let the Bible Speak there at that location in person. And that way we get to meet you, and we hear from you so often, and we would love for you to come out on those nights. So go ahead and mark your calendar. It will be at 6:30 on that Friday and Saturday, the 14th and 15th, and we will be thrilled to be able to meet you face-to-face. So please don't miss out on that. Go ahead and mark your calendars for that. We look forward to you coming to that event. Again, that's the 14th and 15th of November, the middle of the month, and we are thrilled to be able to offer this opportunity for us to meet and to share with you more of the riches of God's Word with you, and that in person, face-to-face. That's what we love, because we love to see you, and we appreciate you so very much. We hope and pray that we'll be a blessing to you. Now, if you have your questions, go ahead and continue calling them in, and we will go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. The voice lines are both available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
We have a text questioner sending in this text. The question is, where in the Bible does it talk about giving 10% of your paycheck? That question is not answered in the Bible. There's just it's just not in there, and we're going to have to be able to give you the best the best possible explanation as far as your giving what the Lord expects. Well, we can answer that. But as far as giving a 10% of what you earn to the Lord, we can't find that in the scriptures in terms of the New Testament. We're under the New Testament law. In the Old Testament, there was a command for the tribes of Israel to give a tenth of their possessions. And then it wasn't talking about money specifically, but a tenth of their possessions for the tribe of the Levites, to take care of the tribe of the Levites, because they were not able to work secular jobs. They had to take care of the temple. That's what God's command was to them. And so that's why God allowed them to receive a tenth from the other tribes to take care of them. But that giving a tenth is not what is commanded to us living under the New Testament. It's just not. We're not Jews. There is no tribe of the Levites. God does not expect us to give a 10% of our paycheck, of our earnings. That's just not in the Bible. In the New Testament, what we do see is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. That's where we see what we should give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, he tells us when we should be giving to him. In verse 2, he says, verse 1 shows that it's a command, because he says, as I've given orders. Verse 2, he says it should be given on the first day of the week. All right. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And then in verse 7, he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he doesn't tell us what percentage to give, but he does tells us as each purpose in his heart. So let's add one little caveat to that, just for thought. In the Old Testament, God expected his people, he told them to give a 10% for the tribe of the Levites. In the New Testament, he doesn't specify a percentage, but he says as each purpose is in our heart. So when we think about the Old Testament and we think about the New Testament was made on and founded on Christ's blood, and Christ's blood sealed the new covenant, the New Testament. So since he is a greater sacrifice than what there was in the Old Testament, should you be giving more than what was expected back then or less? And that is what you purpose in your heart to give to the Lord. And so that's where your answer is going to lie in. Once again, those were 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Thank you so very much for that question. We appreciate that. And that is one of the studies that is on our website that you can download and see a lot more information about tithing, what God expects as far as giving money and offering to him. So we would encourage you to go to BibleAlone.com and check that out. 308-9564. The lines are available. You will be the next one to call in if you call right now. 308-9564.
We have Zachariah calling in this question. His question is, how do you overcome problems, etc.? Are these trials and consequences because of poor choices? Well, Zachariah, let's just go to the Bible for the answer. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus encourages us. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, how can he say that his yoke was easy and his burden was light when he had to go through all of the agonies and the torture of the crucifixion and what he was doing? Well, because he was serving God. His focus was totally on heaven and doing what his Father commanded him to do. In essence, even though he was and is our Savior, he also was simply doing his Father's will. And so if we can so focus our attention on doing what God says, then a lot of those problems that we might call problems in life are not problems at all. And a lot of the trials that, yes, we may cause because of our decisions when we stray from that focused path, that straight and narrow path that leads to life, and that will lead to less and less poor poor decisions that we might make, because we're making all of our decisions based upon what our master says. And when we do things his way, well, it will just turn out so much better, because he's the creator. And if you doubt how well his design works, just look at the laws of nature and see how well they work and how beautiful and how structured things are in this life. And so our lives can be so ordered as well if we will just let him build us and make us after his design. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8 also warns us, says, you're going to reap as you sow. And so if we sow toward carnal things, guess what? All those things perish with the passing of time. Our thieves break through and steal. But if we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, neither thieves break through and steal, things will turn out so much better. Matter of fact, in Matthew 6, where I'm quoting from, he ends up putting it this way. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and these things that we tend to worry so much about will be added to us. And so, Zachariah, hopefully that's helpful to you. If you want more information on this, just go ahead and enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. We sure do appreciate your desire to know what God says in his word, and you are to be commended for asking such a question as that. That is a heart question, which is to be very, you're to be very commended, and we appreciate that very much. To get the Bible Correspondence Course, that number is 553-5157, 553-5157. If you want to enroll in the course, go ahead and call that now. If you do, you will be able to find truth that maybe that's just not being told in the pulpits across the land. Most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth. And so we want to encourage you to find the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because if we're not following that truthful pathway that leads us to eternity, then we are going to be in trouble. We want to thank you so much for your question very much. God bless you, and we hope and pray that you were able to find the answers you need. Chuck?
Yeah, we have another text question. I'll throw this in before the break here. They ask, can Christians take private communion? Well, when we see the examples in the scriptures, and once again, we're going to go back to the letter to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the context is starts in verse 14 and kind of goes through verse 21 and 22. But he asks a couple of questions in verse 16. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And then going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following to the end of the chapter, he talks more about the Lord's Supper. And what we see in the context of both these passages in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 14 through 21, and also 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through the end of the chapter, we see the context is showing both of those are done and recognize that they are in the group or the assembly of when people come together. If you look over at 1 Corinthians in chapter 18, he says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you and apart, I believe it. So in verse 18, he sets the context talking about when you come together as a church. And then he goes on and continue in that context. So as far as taking communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord expects us to do that with a body of believers, a group of his people. And so that's what he expects us to do, that we being many members are one body, the body of Christ. And so as far as taking that by yourself at home, we do not see that in the scriptures anywhere. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thank you for your question. Once again, that was 1 Corinthians 10, verses 14 through 21, 22. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you can look at verse 18. And matter of fact, yeah, look at verses 17 through the end of the chapter. We are about to hit our next break, and we are going to be telling you about our Bible Correspondence Course while we're at break, offering that to you. You can dial 553 503-5157 to sign up for that, or you can ask and request a Let the Bible Speak in your home. We can come by, we can study with you, we can answer any questions, and we can just encourage you in the Lord. And that's our desire for what we truly would enjoy doing with you. So let us know that if you desire that, and we will make our schedules available to you in that. 308-9564 to join us here at the broadcast. You can call even while at break. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live. Once again, we encourage you to go ahead and sign up for the Bible Correspondence course. We really do want to be able to help you can just continue to grow in the Lord and seeing what he wants you to do in your life and how he wants you to serve him. And going to church on Sunday cannot be the only way that we express our love to him, our gratitude to him, our service to him. It is a daily process that we continue to grow in. You know, going to a worship service, that's just a part of it. We have to get his word into our lives and make it the priority in our life. You know, loving him, showing our obedience to him. That's what he's always wanted throughout the beginning of time. As soon as he first set man on this earth, he expected us to obey his word. And so it's just our earnest heart desire that we would be able to help you in that. That's what the Bible Correspondence course is for us just to be able to help you to learn about God better, to serve him better, to live for him better. That's all that Bible Correspondence course is for you to do. So we encourage you in that. Go ahead and sign up for that. Or like I mentioned earlier, you can request us to be able to come to your home or us to be able to meet with you somewhere just to be able to help you to grow in the scriptures. If you can make that available, we can make that available to you. But while we are here at the program, take advantage. We got first 30 minutes out, and so we are rolling on. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564.
Or if you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283. The choice is yours. We have James calling in this question. He wants to know, he says, I smoke cigarettes and marijuana. Will that keep me out of heaven? Well, James, thank you so much for your question, and we appreciate your desire to know the truth on this. We hope and pray that you will be able to be satisfied with what God says in his word. It's so important to look at the Bible, not just as a mere document, but as the word of God. And so when we go there for the answers, it's not just an intellectual exercise, but this is our creator, the one that loves us so very much that not only did he make us and make this fabulous, wonderful world for us to live in, he sent his only son to die so that our sins can truly be taken away. And so, James, here's your answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, or sodomites, or thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards. That would be under any kind of intoxicant, that which would make one drunk. Or revilers, nor extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. Right now you might be thinking, well, that probably includes everybody. Well, it may. Except for the ones who change. Notice verse 11. For such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So just because we may have practiced some of these things before does not mean that we have to practice these things. We can change. We can repent. We can try to show ourselves approved unto God and walk by the beat of his drum, not the devil's drum, not the world's drum, but what he wants us to walk by. And so when he calls out the cadence of how we should march and walk through this life, as we listen to him, we'll be marching and walking on that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And those are the ones that will be able to go to heaven. As far as what you mentioned there, those are just two vices that we have to put aside in order to be washed, to be sanctified, to be justified, to be cleansed from our sins so that we can be named by God as one of his children. James, I hope and pray that and salute you for your question and hope, and this is beneficial to you. And we've got to just start listening to God, and it all starts with, do we really think of the Bible as the Word of God? And by the way, those of you that might have a question about that, you can have that settled once and for all. We're more than happy to send something to you, or you can go to our website for information to prove that the Bible is the Word of God without any doubt whatsoever. Thank you, James. We sure appreciate it. The number to call us right now is 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have another text question coming in. This texter asked about the passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, which reads, do you not know that the saints will judge? First, we will apply the context here. The context here is these Christians here, and once again, we're back in this church in Corinth. They had many problems, and one of the issues that they had was that these brothers and sisters in Christ who were in the same church family, they were taking one another to court and taking one another to court in front of, you know, ungodly people who weren't saints, who weren't children of God. They were going to court in front of them. And so it was, you know, just looking back, God's people going to court, fighting against one another in the presence of the ungodly when we're supposed to be, you know, shining lights and examples of godliness and love to them. So that was a big issue there with that. And so in that context is where this comes in at. And he says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more than things that pertain to this life? Now, what we can recognize when we read that context is that he's kind of using those, that mentioning of judging the world and judging angels. Now, I know that's what this the texter is asking about. They're saying, how is this going to happen and when will this happen? Well, I can't think about any other time besides when Christ comes back. You know, that's when the world will be judged. As far as how that's going to happen, well, we know in the Gospels, Christ mentioned something about his apostles sitting on 12 thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So we remember that in the Gospels. And then as far as what he tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says in verse 7 that to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever this happens, this judging the world or judging angels, seems like it's going to have to happen when Christ comes back. The judgment is going to happen when Christ comes back. He was here on the earth. He said he did not come he did not come to be served, but to serve. And so when he came to seek and save the lost. He came to serve. He did not come to judge when he was on the earth. But the next time he comes back, that will be when he's going to judge. Now, as far as how people and how his people of God, how the saints are going to do that, I don't know. Don't believe if we look in the book of Revelation or anything, I don't believe we can actually point to a specific scripture and says, well, this is how. And if there is, I mean, we'll check on that and be able to get back to you. But as it stands right now, we believe we can be comfortable with the fact that we see that Christ, given his answer of when he comes back is when this world is going to be judged. We see that, once again, that was 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And so hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Stephen calling in this question. By the way, if you have a question, call in right now. Both lines are available, 308-9564. That's the voice line. If you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Stephen's question is, how does Jesus know who is going to heaven or to hell? Well, Stephen, that's a really good question. And all we have to do is to try to find the passage that describes God's ability. And a very vivid one is revealed to us in His Word in Psalm 139. In Psalms chapter 139, where it says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, that is, You know where I'm at. You know my rising up, You know what's coming up. You understand my thoughts afar off. So He knows the present, He knows the past, He knows the future. You comprehend my path and my lying down. He understands everything there is about us. You are acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4 says, And there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand on me. Again, past, present, and future. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. And so we can see there how vast God does know us. He knows our thoughts while they are afar off. He knows everything within our hearts, within our minds, and it's certainly all of our actions. So your question is, how does Jesus know who is going to heaven and who is going to hell? That the standard by which we are to comply to is His Word. For example, Stephen, if your boss told you on your job that you had to go do A, B, and C in that order, and you go out and you do X, Y, and Z instead of A, B, and C, you know what you put in what those alphabets stand for. Now, would he be pleased with you? Well, no, because he told you exactly what to do and in what order. So if you disobeyed him, then obviously you're going to suffer the consequences of that. Well, so it is with God as well. He has told us exactly what to do and what to be and exactly what order to do things. And so we've got to let Him be the Lord and King of our life and do it as He said. After all, He said, Why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? And He also said, If you love me, keep my commandments. So hopefully that's helpful, Stephen. That was John 14:15. And Psalm 139. Read the whole chapter. You'll see how vast God's abilities really are. Thank you, Stephen. You're to be saluted, and that's a great question. We sure do appreciate your interest, your listening, and your calling in the question. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, we want you to know that we will continue to get your questions, and we will go to the Bible for them. Don't miss out on getting your question in today. That number is 308-9564. If you rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Studying the Bible for yourself will build a faith that comes from God, from His Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So my question is, do you have faith in God, or has your faith been built by another source? If it has been built by another source, then it's certainly not a faith in God. If you've listened to the preacher, your spouse, your mama, the Pope, or anyone else, then your faith is not in God. And the only way to know if you really have faith in God is, can you prove what you believe with the Word of God? There you go. That's the question that we need to know. So if you want to increase your Bible knowledge and have a true faith that comes from hearing God's Word, go ahead and enroll in the Bible Correspondence course. The number, 553-5157, that is the number to call for the free course. It is free. We'll send it to you in this week's mail. Or if you have already enrolled and you have a question, we are waiting for your question on today's broadcast. The live number right now is 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are so thrilled that you have an interest in what God has to say in His Word. And we are thrilled that you are seeking after the answers from God's Word. And so we pray that our efforts today to share with you answers from God's Word as we let the Bible speak has been a benefit to you and edifying in your pursuit to serve our Creator. That is the right way to do it, to be able to find what He expects of us. When we stand before Him in judgment one day, He will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is, if we do what he says. Now, if we're not interested in doing what he says, then he will not say that. He will say something like, as in Matthew 7, in verse 22 and 23, those individuals said that they were calling him Lord, Lord. He says, they say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And then they came up with several things that they were doing in the name of the Lord. And yet Jesus said in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is, they were not doing the law of God. They were not following his will. And thus Jesus told them to depart. Please, please don't let that happen to you. Please, let's find what God says and follow it. Why not enroll in this course? 553-5157. It is free. We'll get it in the mail to you this week, and we are happy to be able to share it with you. 553-5157, and we'll get it in the mail to you. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283. Nick, Chuck, would you have the next question?
No, but I am bald.
Oh, okay.
we have this texter sending in this question about Jesus. It says, why is Jesus portrayed with long hair when in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it states that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? That's a good question. And the answer to that question is, I have no earthly idea. All these physical descriptions that we see, illustrations, all of these physical illustrations that we see of Jesus, we can't go by any of those. There is nowhere in the scriptures that puts an emphasis on Jesus' physical appearance about describing how he looked. Oh, save for, except for Isaiah chapter 53. And you will go right past it in verse 2, Isaiah 53, verse 2. You'll go right past it if you don't know what you're looking for, because it's not a focus of God. It's not something important to God to let us know how Jesus looked, his physical appearance. But the only place that we can find out, we see a little bit of it, is in Isaiah 53, verse 2, that says, it describes him. For he shall grow up before him as a tender root, and as a dry root, a tender plant, and as a dry, I'm messing up all over the place. Let me read again. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. So just that second part, the latter portion of chapter 53, verse 2, where it says he has no form or comeliness. That's saying like his body, that's talking about his physical appearance. It's saying he has no form or comeliness. It's saying there's nothing special about him. There's nothing out of the ordinary about his physical appearance. Then it says, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, the way that is phrased, it might not be too easy to recognize, but when you say someone has no beauty, that's not a phrase that we use. That person has no beauty. Usually we say the word ugly or some variation of that. That only physical description that we have of Jesus is that he has no form or comeliness, and there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's the only thing that we see. So he wasn't a good looking man. He wasn't someone to attract. Have physical attraction of, women or people. So we don't see that, and we don't know why all these physical descriptions and physical illustrations have Jesus, whatever. We don't know how he looked, and God didn't think it was important enough to give us scriptures on that. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was Isaiah 53, verse 2. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564.
We have Maurice calling in this question. He wants to know, is wasting food a sin? Maurice, thank you so much for the question. And as I've sitting here, I've grappled over this myself because, you know, I was brought up and my parents made me sit at the table till I cleaned out my plate. Well, now we live in a whole generation where very seldom is that required of people. except for this fellow next to me. He'll clean out his plate, my plate, and everybody else's plate before he gets up.
I tell you, Ricky, it's a sin in my house, but this program ain't about me.
But Maurice says, I've looked at parables like the rich fool, where he got wrapped up in himself when he had a bumper crop, and he said within himself, he said, what shall I do since I have no room to store my goods? And so that I will do this, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store up all my crops. And I guess you get the idea. This man was full of himself. And so certainly that would make him condemned, that person condemned. And so if it gets like that, then it certainly would be wrong. Or maybe the rich young ruler who was told to go sell all that he had. He was covetous of those things. And that could be yes, it could be no. A lot of it has to deal with the attitude of the problem. If it is an authority, like a parent telling us to clean out our plate, well, then we have to obey our parents. And again, there's a lot of variables that to throw in there. But no, there's not a verse of Scripture that says if we waste food that it is absolutely a sin. There's just not a verse about that. But attitudes play into that, and wastefulness and stewardship also plays into that. And so it's a matter of a lot of attitudes associated with it, Maurice. I'm sorry I'm so vague in that, but there's just not a clear verse that defines it right off the bat that way. So, Maurice, thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it. That was Luke chapter 12, dealing with the rich fool, beginning with verse 13 through 21. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the voice line. There is one line available, so let it ring if you call right now. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck, you have the next question?
Yeah, we do. This person asked a question saying that, you know, she reads her Bible, she prays, and she constantly talks with God. So she's trying to have a relationship with him, and that's, of course, what he wants. And she says, you know, she's trying to live right. But her question is, how do I know that God hears my prayers if I don't feel a change within my heart? Well, that's an awesome question, Ashley. And, you know, it shows that you're trying to do right, trying to live right and do what God wants us to do. Well, we see as a matter of knowing the difference between, you know, just living a certain way and doing certain things and actually having it really affect us. Something I want us to, you know, take a look at, my help, is Matthew chapter 15. We see here Jesus, he's talking to the Pharisees here, and he's about to reprove them. You know, listen to what he makes a distinction between. In Matthew 15, verse 7, he calls them hypocrites, and he says, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So we see that God makes a separation between people who and their attitude towards living for him. It says that, you know, your worship can be in vain. He says that you can honor him with your lips, but your heart is far from him. And so he was mentioning these hypocrites, these Pharisees, and how they lived. And so in our own lives, we have to recognize how much of our lives we're devoting to him. You know, are you holding back anything in your service to God? We see in John 14, in verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so he puts the emphasis on keeping his commandments. And so, you know, Ashley, I salute you on, you know, all the things that you're trying to do. You say you're praying, you're studying your word. Well, also, we can look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And he says, verse 5, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he continues on and tells us things we need to add to our faith: virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So he tells us we need to add to our faith. And so, you know, we continue to do that. We study God's word. We apply it to our lives. You know, and so as far as knowing if he hears your prayers, when we pray for something, we have to be on the lookout for the answer. We have to continue to commit our ways to him and his word, and he will be able to help us to recognize that and clarify that for us. Thank you so much for that question, Ashley. Once again, that's 2 Peter chapter 1 that we looked at, as well as John 14, verse 15, and many other things. And that's something that we would really encourage you to sign up for, the Bible Correspondence course, Ashley. That study will help you to get more in-depth into God's word. Really just keep digging more and more and more. And we will be so glad to help you with that. 553-5157 is the number to be able to sign up for that, Ashley. We really want to send an invite to you to sign up for that and to fill it out and send it back. As well as others who are listening, we are about to go to break to tell you more about this. And so we want to be able to let you know that even while we're at break, we can accept your questions. Go ahead, call them in, 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live, and we got a little less than 30 minutes in the program to go, two more segments, and the questions are piling up. So we appreciate the busyness that we've been able to have today, and we hope that we are serving you and giving you the answers to the questions that are on your hearts and your minds from God's word. So we continue to encourage you to call in your question at 308-9564 or texting your question to 725-9283.
Yes, we have Tracy calling in this question. Tracy, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We hope and pray the program is being of a blessing to you. Tracy's question is, why did Mary leave Joseph to visit Elizabeth for those few months? It was quite a travel from Nazareth all the way down to Judah, so it was a trip. And we read what we know in Luke chapter 1, verse 38 and 39. Right after the angel told her about that she is going to have a son, it says in verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your will." And then the angel departed from her. Then the very next verse says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said," and then beginning there, we see both of them prophesying, are speaking by the influence of God and announcing what was about to take place and the good news associated with not only Elizabeth's child, John the Baptist, and Mary's child, Jesus. And thus their coming together seemed to be a proclamation of those things that were going to be taking place in just a few months for Elizabeth and, of course, about 9 months for Mary. And so that's the only thing I can say is just read that context, and you'll see there's a long discourse there from each of them about what is taking place. Both of these were promised children, miraculous children, especially Jesus, being that he was fathered by God himself, the Spirit of God. Tracy, I hope that's helpful to you. That's Luke chapter 1, begin with verse 38, and just read through the whole chapter, which is a long chapter. And you will be able to get all I know from right there from God's word as we let the Bible speak. Thanks, Tracy. You're to be commended for your desire to know the truth. Again, the number is 308-9564. Both lines are available. Continue your questions, and we will quickly deal with these questions before the end of the broadcast. Go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. Chuck?
Yeah, we have the text question, and it's I do the best I can reading it. It talks about, it says, is there anything such as a sin so big that God will not speak to? Because the person saying that they thought that a sin, you know, just a sin is a sin, but they heard one woman say that God isn't answering because the sin is bad. Well, you know, in the sight of in God's eyes, God hates all sin. We know from Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, and we know that he tells us that. And as far as, you know, one sin being bigger than the other, you know, we don't necessarily see that. He did mention that Christ did mention that he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit or speaks against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, and that's because the Holy Spirit is his last messenger. You know, after Christ left, Christ said he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. If Christ stayed on earth, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been able to come. And so the Holy Spirit is God's last messenger. He used in the Old Testament, he used the prophets and he used the fathers to speak to the people. And then there was a period of about 400 years of silence, I believe. And then John the Baptist came and Christ came. And so, you know, he gave the word to the apostles, and the apostles spread that word and went on and told others. But the Holy Spirit's the last messenger from God, and so that's why speaking against him or blaspheming against him would be unforgivable, because we're not having another, you don't get another chance after the Holy Spirit, that's it. And so we see that there. And so as far as this sin being bad, well, yeah, sin's bad, all sin's bad, so sin's equal in God's eyes as far as particular things that someone would do. But God expects us to obey him, and we have to recognize that by going in his word, applying it to our lives, and continuing to grow more and more to be able to know what things we need to get out of our lives. And so, once again, as Romans 3:23 as well as Romans 6:23, but sin's gonna be equal in God's eyes.
And even in Isaiah 55:8-9, God's ways are not our ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. So we really do not have the ability to figure out what's best and better and worst and worser, except what God tells us. And so we just have to seek out his ways. And that's Isaiah 55:8-9. We have Sam calling in this question. He wants to know about post-traumatic stress syndrome. Many men, after being in war, have this. And the question is, do they suffer this because of sin? Well, Sam, first of all, let's establish that the government, what rights the government has. In Romans chapter 13, it brings out that be subject unto the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities exist are appointed by God. It goes on to say that if you are an evildoer, be afraid. Verse 4 says, for God's minister, that is the government, ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. That sword there is a bloody sword, or a sword of execution, showing that the government has the right to be able to kill based upon someone's evil doing. And so sometimes people that are actually the ones that the government is using may have an effect on people. And no, that's not a sin if the government is actually putting these people to death. They have the right to do that as an avenger from God. Now, the problem is our government many times is doing everything but that, and that may be a problem, but still, as far as what God says, God establishes government, and he gives the government the right to be an avenger and executor of vengeance. And so someone in that role does not sin against God. And so that's hopefully that's been helpful to you. And it may be traumatic on people, but still that is not a sin against God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Sam. Again, the number is 308-9564. We're speeding up the question answers because we want to get to all of them before the end of the broadcast. Chuck, you got the next question?
Yeah, Lee calls in this question. It was in response to what we mentioned earlier about the physical appearance of Jesus, and he brought up Revelations chapter 1. And I was very aware of that, but it didn't bring it up for the specific reason of the first part of the verse in Revelation, was the fact that Revelation, the book of Revelation, is written in signs. We see in verse 1, it talks about, it says that his servants, it was written things that must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So signified, first four letters of that, S-I-G-N, sign. So the book of Revelation is written in signs. So we have to be careful not to take things too literal when we look in the book of Revelation. We see that, and we must recognize that these things were a vision. They were a vision given to John. And this was when Christ appeared to him, and it gives the example and the description of him in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 is where the example is given about his appearance. But once again, we have to recognize that was a vision. It was given to John. And we have to know that was, you know, after his that was after his time here on the earth, and so we have to be able to recognize the difference between that. But we were aware of that. It really did not fit into the context of the question about his physical appearance while he was on the earth. 308-9564.
This is our last segment. We're about to go to our last break, so please be aware that we are happy to send you the Bible Correspondence Course so that you may be able to find and discover the vital truth that you may have never seen before. It's been in the Bible the whole time. We've had it there on our coffee table, or we carry it to church, and yet sometimes there have been truths that have been hidden from us because most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must operate within their doctrinal boundaries. Please get out of such a box as that. Listen to the whole truth, because when we stand before God one day, it will be based on what He says, not on what comes out of that pulpit, unless that pulpit is teaching just the truth. So find out for yourselves what God has to say. Let's show ourselves approved unto God and have the faith that we will be able to go to heaven with. That is from God's Word. Go ahead and enroll right now at 553-5157 and get that course on the mail to you. We'll get it in the mail to you this week. So 553-5157, and you'll get that course and study it, learn what God says. And we're happy to be able to share it with you. It is absolutely free, so don't hesitate to enroll. 553-5157. If you have a question, call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. Back live now. This is our last segment, so go ahead with your questions. Get them to us, and we will do our best to answer those on today's broadcast. 308-9564. The Bible Correspondence Course we just mentioned, it is free. There are thousands of you that have enrolled in this course, and we've never charged a penny, nor suggested that you send us any money. Matter of fact, we're going to say something that's very strange. You might not have ever heard this on radio before. Please put away your checkbooks. Do not send us your tithes and offerings. Rather, let us give you the treasure that will never be taken away from you. We're happy to share it with you, and we are honored that you are showing interest in God's Word. In the first century, Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for money, neither do we. And if you're part of a group that's always intimidating you to give money, then you should consider where your group is or what your group is teaching, especially if they are all about money. Please, what we want you to do is forget about that. Let's get the spiritual wealth that God alone can give us so that we will always be blessed in heaven. So go ahead and call for the Correspondence Course. That's where you'll learn about that treasure in God's Word, 553-5157. And we will let the Bible speak through the course, where you can study it anytime you want to. But now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Chuck, you have the next question.
Oh, we got a quick question that I'm going to answer right quick about Inez asking what Job's wife was named. We don't have any record of Job's wife's name. Sorry about that, Inez, but there's just nowhere that tells us anything about that. And this next question, you want to...
Well, yeah, I've got a quick question as well. Here's Robert's question. He says, Proverbs 26, verse 6 and 7, what's it talking about? I drew a smiley face on the passage because it is really Well, there are some things in God's word that's just absolutely funny. And here's one of them. Proverb, not that God's word is funny, but listen, you'll see what I mean. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 6, it says, "He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, like the legs of the lame that hang limp, is a proverb in the mouth of fools." Now that's funny. I mean, can you just picture this picture? Here is someone that is acting a fool. And the Bible talks about a number of different kinds of fools, but here's one that is understood to be a fool. And yet they're spouting off a proverb or a truth. And he says, it's like the legs of a lame man that hang limp. There's just no power behind it whatsoever. It will not be taken seriously. It is lame. And that's what it's talking about. Robert, thanks for the question, and thanks for pointing that out to us. It is there's a lot more proverbs like that, and we sure appreciate you pointing that out to us. Again, the number is 308-9564. Chuck, next question.
George's question is about a symbolism. He says, is the cross the only symbol for Christianity? Me and Ricky were kind of talking about this during the break, and we recognize that, you know, this may be shocking to hear, but the cross, although a lot of people use it as representation of, you know, what Christ went through on the cross and the suffering, but the cross was actually not made as a symbol by God. Man, that's something man came up with. Now, what God did want to be symbols, he gave us. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, something we mentioned earlier, but it was in a different light. In this context, we pay attention to the fact that the symbol is, you know, a representation of. And so the representation of Christ's death, burial, his resurrection, his suffering that he went through, it's not supposed to be the cross, but the symbol or the emblems that he gave himself when he instituted is the Lord's Supper. The verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says he's talking about the bread. It says, "He gave thanks, he broke it. Take, eat, this is my body," he said, "which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So the bread is the symbolism of his body that was broken for us. The fruit of the vine is the symbolism. It represents his blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that seals the new covenant, the blood that washes away our sins. That's the symbolism that Jesus himself told us to have. And also, the word symbol is something that's described as a symbol. Baptism, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it uses the word antitype in many translations. The word antitype just means symbol. It says baptism, there is a antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. So when you're baptized, it's nothing in the water itself physically that washes away your sins or saves you. But if we look at Romans chapter 6 and combine those together, Romans chapter 6 verses 3 through 7 talks about the baptism is a symbol, it's the representation of our death, burial, and resurrection, becoming a new person in Christ. It says, "Know you not as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death," is the burial. "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." And it continues on. So once again, that's Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Ricky?
We want to thank you so much for your question and your desire to know what God's word says. That shows something about your heart, and we certainly appreciate that and your desire to be with us in this broadcast. We're quickly running out of time, and so we'll speed up our questions. Next question comes from the text number 872, the last three digits. They want to know, is playing bingo a sin? Well, the Bible doesn't mention bingo, but it does tell us what we're supposed to spend our money on. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands that which is good that he may have to give to those that are in need. Galatians 6:6 says that we that receive the preaching of God's word should support those who preach in all good things. Galatians 6:6. We're to give to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. We're to pay our taxes. Romans chapter 13. And last and certainly not least, the men are supposed to provide for their family, and those that will not provide for their family have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there's five things that God tells us that we are supposed to do with our money, and none of them fall into the category of bingo or taking money away from other people in a game of chance. That is just foreign to God's word, and I kind of suspect that when we take advantage or take other people's money, that would not fall into any of these categories. And so thank you for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI.
We have either Leon or Lynn calling this question, asking about the pictures that show Jesus being Caucasian and blonde-headed. He's asking, are we worshiping a false god? And he did not look that way. Well, hopefully no one's worshiping those pictures. So we recognize that once again, we just put an emphasis on God's word does not put an emphasis on what Jesus looked like. And so neither should we. You know, if it was important, it would be in his word. So obviously it wasn't that important to God. And so if we're worshiping, you know, singing praises to and praying to this, those pictures of what Jesus looked like, if we're worshiping and singing praises to and praying to those things, well, then that's a problem because we're not supposed to put any graven image or anything as an idol. God is against idolatry. He mentions that multiple times. He does not want us to have any idols or and worship or praise or anything except him. And a representation of him as a picture, you know, we don't want to fall into that. That would fall into idolatry. So we shouldn't be worshiping and praising and singing to and praying to those pictures anyway. So hopefully that's what helpful to you, Leon.
Yeah, and we thank you so much for that question, and we thank you for participating in today's broadcast and calling in your question. We have this question. Are Christians supposed to put up a Christmas tree? We're going to answer that in just a second, but I'll answer that at the end of the program in just a few seconds. But I want you to be aware that those of you that live in Goose Creek, live in Ladson, North Charleston, Munt's Corner, Somerville area, we are having another meeting where you can come out and be with us on November the 14th and 15th, and that will be in Goose Creek. And so mark your calendars for those two evenings. That's a Friday and Saturday evening starting at 6:30. And we want you to come out and be with us and meet. We would want to meet you face-to-face, and we'll give you materials to study God's Word. We'll be able to let the Bible speak there in person. And please mark your calendars for that. And we look forward to that time with you. And hopefully you can come and be with us. Now to this question, the last four digits are 4460. Their question is, are Christians still supposed to put up Christmas trees? Well, I really appreciate your question. The answer to that is there's just nothing in the Bible about that at all. There is nothing about Christmas. There is nothing about celebrating the birth of Christ once a year. Matter of fact, there is nothing in the Bible about celebrating the birth of Christ. Now, obviously, he would not have been able to die for us had he not been born. But God never told us to celebrate in any kind of festive way the birth of Christ. Now, what he did tell us to celebrate is his death for our sins on the cross. So that is supposed to be done not once a year, not once a quarter, and it's not once a month. That is to be done on the first day of the week, and that happens every 7 days. So the feast that we are supposed to remember Christ's life and death and resurrection is to be celebrated every first day of the week. So please mark that down. That's Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 is where the disciples came together to break bread. So don't miss out on that. That is something that's supposed to be done every week. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. Please continue to join us as we study God's Word each week from 1:30 to 3 as we let the Bible speak.